Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here we are, folks. Hour number two of Football Full Circle. Mike Blewett and George Kurtz talking about the NFC South. I know you've, for those of you that have listened to this show, watched this show in the past, we've done divisional previews sort of running over week by week as we headed up to this sort of July 4th holiday weekend break. And happy 4th of July to all of you out there. I hope you're celebrating safely. Keep those, as I learned in the first couple of days of this holiday weekend, keep those pets indoors, a little scary for them, but enjoy yourself and have a safe and fun holiday. Enjoy a beverage of your choice, burgers, dogs, whatever you want to put on the grill. I hope you have a lot of fun with your family. It's always good to spend a little time with your loved ones. So let's talk a little football, though, since it is America's favorite pastime now. George, we're talking NFC South. We talked a little bit about some of the players in the first hour, but we're going to focus here on the divisional odds. So here's the NFC South odds as we put them up on the screen. Bucks, obviously a significant favorite here, minus 300 to win the division, plus 400. The Saints in second there, the Panthers at 13-1, and then the Falcons at 25-1. I would say that, you know, based on these numbers, they are the most significant favorite in the league to win their division. The Bills are close, but not quite there. So we'll start there. We'll do a macro sort of outlook at the division, and we'll break it down team by team after that. But you think the Bucks run away with this thing again? They had it pretty easy a year ago.
I think it's likely. Run away, maybe a little stronger term than what I would use. I think they win it comfortably. Yeah, might be the term I would go there. I think the New Orleans Saints could be more interesting if maybe Kamara wasn't going to get suspended. And we knew for sure what Winston was going to do and Mike Thomas. Too many question marks for New Orleans. And they were two teams not worried about. So, yeah, I think Tampa Bay wins it pretty easily here. I think, once again, you can make an argument. Their next important game is January when we see who they play in the playoffs. And, can they be that number one seed? You know, if not, so that's the only team that gets the bye week. I don't know if they'll care about anything else there. So, yeah, I do expect them to win this division fairly easily unless Tom gets hurt. So, and we can say that about any team, by the way. If the quarterback gets hurt, yeah, you're probably toast. But unless Tom gets hurt, I expect them to win this division fairly comfortably, which is why it's like when I joked earlier about Gronk, I'm not so sure he's retired. I don't think Tampa Bay cares if he plays the first half, first 10 games of the season. I think there will come a point, though, where Tom's going to give him a phone call. Nose is in shape. He says, hey, stretch run, man. Let's go. Got to get in here. I expect that time to come.
Yeah, we'll dive into it a little bit deeper when we talk about the Bucs in the next segment. I tend to disagree on that. I think this might actually be Gronk waving the white flag on a career, an outstanding career, obviously. But we'll talk about that a little bit deeper. I think my initial opinion on this division is, and as we've gone over it, I don't think I'm as big a believer in the Saints as everyone else. I think the loss of Sean Payton as head coach, with no disrespect to Dennis Allen, because I think he has a chance here to be successful. And I think he didn't get a fair shot when he was with the Raiders, because that organization was in the middle of a 20-year, at least 15-year, just dregs of the NFL kind of scenario. They couldn't get out of their own way for a long time whether it was Jamarcus Russell or anybody before or after that, from the time they lost that Super Bowl to Tampa, as we welcome in our radio audience. Happy 4th of July weekend. You're on Football Full Circle with Mike Blute and George Kurtz. To SiriusXM audience and everybody else, again, we're talking NFC South, and enjoy your holiday weekend. So Dennis Allen was a part of all of that, George, from the time they lost that Super Bowl in San Diego to the Bucks, which was a disastrous performance. For the next 15 years, they were terrible, and including at the beginning of Derek Carr's career. I think it impacted people's viewpoint, including my own, of what type of player he was. So I just don't think that I think the loss of Sean Payton and what you said, Alvin Kamara is still – the Deshaun Watson thing has created a vacuum of news around him and not as much around Alvin Kamara. Obviously, will heat up again. But my thought process is the Saints are a little further away from being a true contender for a playoff spot than I think some are giving them credit for. A good team, a good defense. You just got to have Jameis and Dennis Allen and Alvin Kamara. All of that stuff's got to work out for them to really compete. And I think it's a lot to ask right now.
I think that's fair. I think what you said is very fair here. The Saints have I like all the moves they've made, but there's a lot of question marks. And you go on down with team here. What you said about Kamara is 100% correct. No one's talking about this because of the Deshaun Watson situation. Kamara is going to be suspended. It's just a matter of how many games here. They've got video of him pummeling the guy. All right? And he's toast. I think he'll probably get 6 games. It was the first 6 games of the season. They'll go with Ingram and company, Dwayne Washington, Divine Ozigbo, and guys like that there. We don't know what kind of quarterback Winston's going to be without Sean Payton. He did seem to realize, hey, you can't turn the ball over. When Payton was there, we'll see what happens without him. I don't know if Mike Thomas is going to be a great wide receiver again. I don't know. Another guy didn't seem to want to play football last year, Mike. So I worry about that too. I like the defense. I think they might have the best defense in the division. But that being said, the offense is questionable. But the reason I think they might be able to make the playoffs is, are there 6-7 teams better than them? Man, remember, 7 teams make the playoffs in the NFC.
Yeah, agreed. I think the end of the NFC wild card race is going to be pretty fascinating. Bunch of teams, including the Saints, in the mix. We'll talk the Bucs when we come back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always a fun game to play during the breaks. How good is Andy Dalton? We'll get to that one in the next segment, and how many backup quarterbacks are better than him now and how many are worse. But we're going to focus on the Bucks now. Before we do, I just want to remind everybody to follow us on social media. George and I are at Mike Blewett and at George Kurtz, respectively. You can follow us all at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV on Twitter. Beyond that, on Instagram at SportsGrid TV, on TikTok at SportsGrid. A lot of funny information, good information, some funny clips out there. If you're following us, feel free to do so and watch some of our clips. They'll re-air our clips, stuff from in-game live and everybody else all throughout the day, all throughout the weekend on this holiday weekend. So let's talk about the Bucks. Focus specifically on them for this segment. We'll talk through their schedule, everything else. But their win total right now, still a pretty big number, George. Their win total right now, the Bucks are expected to be I lost it. Here we go. We're going to have their schedule here. 11.5 are the Bucks. That's right. So they're the highest in the league along with Buffalo. And the reality is we don't know exactly when some of these guys are coming back. We talked about it just in the last segment. To win the Super Bowl, we already noted win the division, they're -300, biggest favorite to win the Super Bowl, 7-1, the conference, 3-1. And there you go. The win total, team win total, 11.5 at even money right now. So last year, I will say, George, I bet the Bucks to have the most wins in the league. I won that bet, but it was split because they were split with the Packers. Nonetheless, I won that bet. And I bet the over on them too. I think a lot of times people get scared in the futures market of the upper end of the market and the lower end of the market in terms of team win totals. People want to play in the middle. The middle's harder to me. We talked about the Texans in the previous hour. You're a hard under on 4.5. It's the lowest win total on the board. I don't feel great about Atlanta either at 4.5. Now the Bucs are at the top end at 11.5. You said before about Buffalo. Buffalo is a significant favorite too at 11.5. I feel pretty good about the Bucs and the Bills, but there are some question marks here. So if we're talking about getting to an 11.5 win total, the schedule's tougher than it was a year ago. So we can talk through that. But I want your opinion on, we feel good about them making the division, even if you think it's not a runaway. But what about conference title, Super Bowl title for the Bucs?
Yeah, I do feel them the word I would use is comfortably winning the division here. I think they can get the 12 wins, although it'll be hard. But they're the most complete team. They're a team with the least amount of changes, right? Brady's back. All right, you lost Gronk. You will get Godwin back at some point, but you still have Evans, Gage, a good running game here. I'm not all that worried about it. And Brady, throughout his career, has made, you know, let's face it, he's made receivers better. No-name receivers even better than what they possibly can be. So I think they will win the division. Now, as far as the number one overall seed, remember, only the top seed gets the first his home field, right? I guess a bye week, week one. I think obviously every team wants that. All right, they should be better than Philadelphia or Dallas, whichever team wins that division. I think they're better than Green Bay. You know, the problem is Green Bay plays in a weaker division, Chicago and Detroit. Detroit's getting better, but they're not there yet. Chicago, pretty much, I think, looks like you and I both still think they're a mess here. Minnesota, interesting change coaches. We'll see what they can do there. I think Minnesota could challenge Green Bay, but still, it's an easier division, easier to get to that home field. And then you get to the NFC West. The Rams, okay, very good team, but that's a tougher division. All right, so I think Tampa, a pretty good shot, Mike, to get that number one seed. They may end up battling the winner of the NFC North forward here. So if they can get that, I think they're going to go a long way. I mean, who do we think can beat Tampa Bay, you know, realistically? It's pretty much Green Bay and the Rams, right? I don't know if Dallas or Philadelphia can do it. Philadelphia looked terrible against Tampa Bay last year. Dallas always loses to this team. They always lose to Tom Brady. I don't see them playing the Rams in the first round. So I think Tampa Bay is going to get to at least – I think they get at least a divisional, I think, and more than likely at least a championship game.
I think it would be one of the NFC East teams running hot, which is Philly or Dallas, not the other two, and the Niners figuring it all out with Trey Lance. I think those are the only other teams I would throw in the mix. I don't think it's a wide spread of like, man, I wonder who's going to win the NFC. I think you're looking at, to your point, like four teams really that can do it. Because I think the bottom half of this division, the NFC South, is pretty bad, although I'll make a case later for one of those bad teams. And I think a couple of NFC East teams we don't think are going to be very good, and a couple of NFC North teams aren't going to be very good. I think there's like eight bad teams potentially in this conference, George. That's half the conference. So you start to put it together of the remaining eight. I think there's really like four that could win it. So, and I think they're one of them. Would I put money on them right now to win the conference at 3-1? I don't feel great about those odds. Let's take a look at their schedule as you walk through it. I think when you go through this, you'll see the case that we make. It's -120 to the under, by the way. Over is even money on the 11.5. At Dallas, at New Orleans to open this season. And as much as I bash the Saints, they've done really well. I bashed the Saints a couple of minutes ago. I don't think it was a full bashing, but I have some doubts about it. They've done really well against the Bucs. They won five regular season games in a row, I believe. They've beaten Brady in the regular season every time they've played him since he's been here. But obviously, Brady came out on top in the playoff game. So it's at Dallas, at New Orleans, Green Bay, Kansas City. First month is brutal, no doubt. Those are four potential playoff teams. Then it's Atlanta, at Pittsburgh, at Carolina, Baltimore at home, Los Angeles, Seattle, bye week. So key thing here. From Thursday, October 27th until Sunday, November 27th, they don't leave Tampa and they get a bye week. That's kind of a nice break for a team that's on the older side of things. We know they made a couple of additions a couple of big losses on the offensive line, Ali Marpet and Alex Kappa. Ali Marpet retiring, Alex Kappa moving on to the Bengals. They lost both guards. They replaced with Shaq Mason, a former teammate in New England. We like the tackles. We like the center. But with the other things that we've talked about, no Gronk and Godwin being out, they've had a little bit of a shakeup to the personnel. And I just feel like the early part of the season, they're going to have to weather the storm. But that break there in October into the bye week and then at Cleveland, who knows who's playing quarterback, New Orleans, at San Francisco, Cincinnati, at Arizona, Carolina, at Atlanta. I just think post bye week, when it starts to get a little colder and your 45-year-old quarterback might be feeling the effects of a long season, the back half of the schedule sets up better for them.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the first month of the season, I mean, at Dallas, at New Orleans, you're probably rooting for a split there, realistically, just win one, lose one. And then you get home against Green Bay and Kansas City, you might be rooting the same thing. You know, if you can get through the first month of the season at 2-2, and then we roll from there. All right, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Carolina, this could be a nice little run for them there. Baltimore, L.A., another tough little stretch there where it's going to be hard to say you're going to win both. Another split, Seattle. The only thing is after that bye week. All right, that's another brutal part of the schedule there. At Cleveland, I think we assume that Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended, but maybe not. And Cleveland's a good team if Watson is there. And he could be. Maybe he only gets 10 games, and he's back for that. Then they play New Orleans again. We've said they struggled against them. San Fran, they could be a good team with Trey Lance and the rest of that party. Cincinnati, Super Bowl team. So then at Arizona, that's another five-game stretch that could lead them to have some problems there. You know, so interesting before it gets, you know, nice at the end there. A nice little two-game break, Carolina, Atlanta to finish up here. I think I'm at 12. I think they get the 12 here, but that's not enough for me to go over. I'll leave this alone as far as the over-under.
Two three-game homestands, including one in late September, early October. That favors them a lot when Green Bay, Kansas City, and Atlanta come to town. I'm just saying the weather will help them. I'm over on the Bucs, not a hard over, like George says. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Saints after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, we're back on Football Full Circle talking about the NFC South. We're going to get into the Saints here in a minute. But one thing I wanted to say, George, is I play a lot in the NFL futures market. I like it because it affords me some opportunities to get things wrong, but I can average out at plus money, right? We're not trying to sit here and tell someone, hey, take a shot with one team to try to win the Super Bowl at 12-1 and hang on to that ticket for the next 7 months. That's not really the way this works. You're trying to take a few positions that you think are reasonable. Like you just said before, there's only four teams maybe that can win the NFC. Well, you can get positions on all of them at plus money. I'm not saying you should. You'd have to work through the math to make sure it makes sense. If the book is holding on to your money for 7 months, you got to make sure that that math is worth it for you in the long run, and that you can win enough money to offset that fact that somebody else is hanging on to that cash. So, but my ultimate point is that I try not to chase the results from last year. Last year, I had the Bucs over. I had the Bucs best record in the NFL. And they hit. But I don't want to just run right back to the window and be like, oh, I love the Bucs. Let's go for it again. I think you can impact your own thought process if you start to fall in love with favorites. I think I did that last year with the Bengals to my detriment. I had the Bengals. I don't think I ultimately bet their under, but I really liked their under. It's just that I had bet them the couple of years before, and I didn't think Zach Taylor was going to get it done. And I could not have been more wrong. They nearly won the damn Super Bowl on a team that I thought wasn't even going to win 7 games. So my point is, don't chase your results from last year. We learned this a lot. A lot of you out there are fantasy football players. I think you take those lessons. Don't chase the player's success from year over year. You have to evaluate it year in. And to your point with the Bucks, George, schedule's a lot tougher, one or two games either way, and you're under 11.5, even if it's a really good team that can win the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. I mean, yes, last year doesn't really mean much. Most teams, they have changeover in players, or players got older, more experienced. They'll be better or they'll be worse because they got older. You know, we go over the schedule. The schedule is a fun thing to look at, but even that's not the brightest thing we do here. What a team looks like in July, they may not look like in November. You know, with injuries, we think, oh, that's going to be an easy win. But, you know, come November, they got better for some reason. Or they got a team that we thought, oh, it's going to be a tough game, but that team got much worse because they lost 16 players to injury. We see that every year. These are all just building points. Like I said, I tend to look at it, all right, win, loss, win, loss, win, 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 win. I'm looking for a game and a half difference. When it comes to futures, most of us have a bankroll, and you may not want to spend more than 20% of that bankroll on futures. And we're talking football here. You know, we're also baseball guys, hockey guys. You build that all up. I may not want to put more than a certain amount of money on my future because you said that's 6 months I got to wait, you know, before I get paid, even on a division winner. Playoffs, now we're talking 7 months, you know, that I got to keep waiting for this. That's a long time to have your money tied up. So I understand that futures may not be everyone's cup of tea here, especially in this. We're the microwave society. We want results now. You and I used to be fantasy guys, and then DFS came along, and that was instant results. Now gambling's legal, even more instant results where we can bet on everything from props and everything else. So I understand that where people want their money, they want to know if they're going to win or lose now, right? We don't want to wait 6 months. I get that. But still, futures, sometimes you can get it right. It's a nice little present you get, you know, around Christmas time, around the turn of the new year. Hey, I forgot about January, this guy. We see that all the time. Forgot about that.
January windfall. That's a January windfall. You start rolling in and you're like, boom, TJ. Like, I had to wait till NFL honors night for my TJ Watt bet to roll in, but it was nice to have. You know what I mean? $900 out of nowhere, that TJ Watt futures ticket for Defensive Player of the Year. It can be helpful. And he wasn't the only player I bet. So, in any event, I just wanted to make that clear before we talked about the Saints. I think to George's point about teams looking what they are in July and then looking what they may be at some point during the season. I think in the NFC, you saw the Eagles become a very different team. Although you start diving into that schedule, they didn't beat anybody good. So the schedule helped them out. The Niners were floundering at one point. And then what happens? Then they go 9-2 and they're in the NFC Championship game. Teams can look very different. So let's talk about a team that could look very different in the New Orleans Saints. You've got Jameis Winston coming back off an injury. Dennis Allen, the new head coach. We talked about the Alvin Kamara potential suspension about 15 minutes ago. They moved all over the first round for Chris Olave, which I find curious, because is that the guy you really wanted? Or did you move all around to make sure you got one of the wide receivers, which happened to be Chris Olave? Michael Thomas, is he coming back? They do add Jarvis Landry, an underrated receiver. Again, I think Jarvis Landry gets a lot of heat because he doesn't put up huge numbers, but I think he's better than a lot of the wide receivers that put up better numbers than him. That's my personal opinion on him. But here's their odds. 50-1 to win the Super Bowl, 22-1 to win the conference, and plus 350 to win the division. The win total is only 8, plus 115 to the under, minus 135 to the over. So people are liking the Saints over right now, probably because the number is so low. But what do you think, George? Can this team just get to 9-8 to get you over the number?
I'm on the over for the Saints. I am. But I'm also the first to admit this is the question mark team. You know, forget the floor logo there. She have a big question mark because they have a bunch of them. What kind of quarterback is Jameson Winston going to be? Is he going to be that quarterback he was with Tampa Bay? Is he going to be the quarterback where Sean Payton reined him in a little bit, where he was actually boring, wasn't really doing much damage, or is he going to be somewhere in between? You know, so I kind of lean towards the between thing. He's going to have to be, he's got to throw the ball more. How many games will Kamara get suspended for? When will he get suspended? You know, will it be for week one or will it be midseason? You know, and what we've seen in the guys who are running backs or skill position players who get suspended early, they never seem to have that big year coming back. You know, they're behind everybody else. They suffer that soft tissue injury over and over again. So I have worries about Kamara. Mike Thomas, is he that wide receiver, Mike? Is he that guy? That, oh, wow, top five wide receiver in the NFL. Is he that guy anymore? You know, he hasn't played in a couple of years. I'm not so sure how much he wanted to play last year. No more Drew Brees either. That has to hurt. Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer. Winston is not. So I wonder that. I like the defense. I think that will be fine. But a lot of question marks for me about the Saints as far as I don't know what kind of when everything's going to gel together and come together. Are they not really the Saints until Kamara comes back in week 7, week 8, if he gets suspended the first 6 games? You know, like I said, a lot of question marks. It'd be tough. I want to bet the over. I haven't yet. I want to bet the over, but even if I decide that that's where I'm going to go, and that's certainly where I'm leaning, I can't bet a large amount. You know, half a unit, maybe something like that, just to throw it on. It wouldn't be anything large because too many question marks here.
Yeah, they drafted Chris Olave and Trevor Penning, offensive tackle, in the first round. I like both of those additions, but they did give up draft capital and only added one other player before the fifth round, Alante Taylor, the corner from Tennessee. As far as their losses during the offseason, Teron Armstead, their longtime left tackle, he moves on to the Dolphins. Again, I mentioned they draft Trevor Penning. Marcus Williams, a safety that was an impact player for them, moves on to the Ravens. So not a ton of roster turnover, which considering where they were last year, is that a good thing? Or are we just counting on all these guys to come back and eventually Alvin Kamara? Their schedule is as such. They start out at Atlanta. Then we have Tampa, a home game. Again, they beat them in the regular season 4 straight times. I think 5 straight times, actually. At Carolina, Minnesota at home, Seattle at home, Cincinnati at home. So 4 of the 6 games are home games. First 6 are home games. Excuse me. At Arizona, Las Vegas, Baltimore, at Pittsburgh, Los Angeles, at San Fran, at Tampa. That's a tough stretch there. Late November. Rams at San Fran, at Tampa, then into the bye week in week 14. Atlanta at Cleveland, at Philly, Carolina to close it out. So a couple potential playoff teams there. Again, the Browns are the biggest question mark in the league, obviously, right now. A talented team that may not have a starting quarterback. So there you sit. Again, they're playing the AFC North and the NFC West. The NFC South teams drew sort of tough out of conference, out of division schedules this year. But that's where it sits. I think I'm going to be somebody that doesn't bet the Saints this year because there are so many question marks, George, that I think if everything goes right, they could blow away 8. They could be an 11-16 if everything went right. But I got too many question marks. I'm out. I think they're talented defensively and can win a whole bunch of games, so I don't want to bet them under either. But if you ask me right now, to lean one way, I'd lean under because I'm expecting too much to happen positively.
Yeah, can't blame you. Actually, they are a big question mark team here. I think for them to get the over, they better take advantage of the early part of their schedule. All right, you open up at Atlanta, Tampa Bay, which you've beaten, Carolina, Minnesota, Seattle. Because that stretch from week 6 to week 13 is death. You play Cincinnati, Arizona, Vegas, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, L.A., San Fran, Tampa. With the exception of maybe Pittsburgh, those are all teams that are really expected to do some damage this year. Vegas will be in, I guess, in the same category as well.
And you're on the road in Pittsburgh in November.
Right, and that's not fun to play, Heinz Field. Boy, you better take advantage in the early part of your schedule. If you don't, you go 2-3, your season may be over real quick.
Yeah, I'm out on them. I could see maybe betting them live at some point during the season. I'd lean under, but I do think they have a lot of talent. And I think Dennis Allen is a good head coach. I just don't think he's Sean Payton. So you're left with, I think they are a team that will battle for that last spot in the wild card, 6 or 7 seed. I think they'll be there, but I don't feel great about it at the moment. So when we come back, we'll split the next segment between the Panthers and the Falcons as we wrap up the NFC South.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, everybody, back on the grid, football full circle, Mike and George. Little trivia time that we're going to provide the answer for at the top of the next segment. but this is a little bit of a fun one. You're going to have a lot of guesses on it because I wanted to ask George and everybody watching and listening at home, how many players can you name in the top 10 in jersey sales thus far in 2022? So some players have changed teams, maybe. Maybe some people love the guy that was already on the team and he's boosted up jersey sales. So top 10, you're going to rattle them off, George, at the top of the next segment. And for those of you at home, start writing stuff down. George will have to do it during the commercial break, or maybe he's even been jotting them down as I shoot my mouth off before we talk about the rest of the NFC South, which we'll do right now, talking Carolina Panthers first. So Carolina Panthers in the draft decide not to go QB early. They go with Ikem Ekwonu, the offensive tackle out of NC State. Like him a lot as a pick. I think if you're building a team long-term, this was the right choice instead of reaching for a quarterback that you didn't think was rated in the first round. That being said, no second round picks. They drafted Matt Corral and the last pick of the third round. So they do have a quarterback that they seem content on bringing along slowly, George. And he will, I would call it a quarterback battle in Carolina because I don't think Sam Darnold has been promised anything. I just don't think this is the year that Matt Corral takes the job from him, at least in week one. You can see their Super Bowl odds right there, 130-1. Conference, 60-1. Division, 12-1. And the over-under of 6 is -105 to the over, -125 to the under. Here's my opinion, George. I think this team's got a lot of issues, not the least of which is that the owner and the coach are not on the same page. The GM, Scott Fitterer, is probably caught in the middle, and he's just trying to make the best picks he can long-term in order to turn this franchise around. But previously the richest owner in the NFL, he might technically still be David Tepper, but a Walton just bought the Broncos, so however you want to do that money is up to you. So good players all around this team. If McCaffrey's back, DJ Moore is there. I think there's a chance that Matt Rhule can be the first coach fired this season if it doesn't go well early. They were 3-0 last year, finished up 2-12. Terrible. However, this team ran hot, George. They ran hot, and everything worked out. Are they good enough to sneak in as a 7 seed? That's my question to you.
All right. Let's just say for giggles here, you give Philadelphia, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, the Rams, you say they're going to win the divisions. All right, so you got 3 spots left. Pretty much Dallas, Minnesota, New Orleans, San Francisco, Arizona, Carolina. So 6 teams battling for those 3 spots. Hard to see Carolina. We've already said the schedule for this division is tough, right? NFC South, yeah. They're playing the AFC North and the NFC West. So very tough schedule here. No, I can't see it. You said it. Matt Rhule barely survived, right? There was some thought that he might not survive. He might have been fired along with everybody else on Black Monday after the season, but he survived. I think he is on the hot seat. I don't think there's any doubt he's on the hot seat.
He's on the hot seat.
Sort of a Cleveland, New York, New Orleans. I think he's going to get – I think he might get through the season, but unless they make the playoffs or go 9-8 or better and not make – listen, if they can go 9-8 and not make the playoffs, fine. I think he might survive that. But I think he's toast. I just – they don't have a quarterback. They didn't get one, right? Sam Darnold, maybe you end up with Mayfield. Maybe you're waiting for the Cleveland to have to release him. And I think Mayfield would be an upgrade. But at that point, how much of your system is he going to know? How much chemistry is he going to know with these guys here? Is he going to really lead you to a playoff spot here? No, Mike, to answer your question, I don't see this team making the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to go under 6 wins, but I don't see them making the playoffs.
I think this is all just negotiation for them right now. I don't think that the quarterback room is done. I don't know if it's Jimmy or Baker. I would go with Jimmy. But Baker, I understand, provides potentially a longer runway for you to figure out this Corral situation. But I don't know. I just would rather have Jimmy than Baker right now. But that being said, I'd take either of them if I were Carolina, because as much as I held out hope on Sam Darnold, I don't have that hope anymore. I don't think he can make this a winning team this year. So I and the point of this, George, And the reason why I'm saying if they ran hot, one caveat I should have given is because I don't think the quarterback room is finished, I think they can get one of these guys and immediately their odds will be shorter than they are right now. So I'm working with the assumption that they're going to add one of those QBs. And I think their odds would get a lot better. And their future would look a lot brighter. You have to admit, it would look a hell of a lot brighter with Jimmy or Baker under center. Regardless of what you think of those guys, it would look brighter if either of those guys were on the team. The upside of the schedule is that in the first five games, four are home games, and the only road game is at the Giants, who are a team which are probably in a similar boat. So they have to play the both Super Bowl contenders on the road this year, which is not great, and the Ravens on the road. They have a game in Seattle, which not a great team, but a tough place to play. They close at Tampa, at New Orleans. Don't like to see that, but the Lions are on the schedule. I don't know. We got some other opportunities there to scrape out some wins. Again, they were 3-0, went 2-12 to close the season. And I just think that there is a glimmer of hope in that the quarterback room isn't done. But do I feel good about their over? Not really. Not really. But I would bet it over if I were betting it. I bet it over last year. I'm not trying to chase it. I just think that 2-12, I think things went sideways. Who knows? Coach gets fired. Maybe they get a little bit of a bump. I don't think I'm going to bet this one. I was way wrong on the Panthers last year. And I just the fact that I think their coach is probably the first one fired probably says everything you need to know. That said, I think they could fire Matt Rhule early and still get to 7 wins. I think there's enough talent on the team that it could come together. Very young defense. It's coming along. I just don't know what the heck they could do with that quarterback room and a coach that probably doesn't even want to be there anymore.
I think that's fair. Listen, I think there is talent on Carolina. I do think there's talent there, but you don't have a quarterback. And if you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you know, where are you going? You know, I don't think, like you said, I don't think they're done. But another thing they have to realize is Jimmy, you said, to acquire Jimmy G, it's going to cost you draft picks. Do you want to give up those draft picks for Jimmy G, who may not be there a long time? Then you got to sign to a big contract if you want to keep him. Are you going to do that? Does the next head coach want Jimmy G? Because Jimmy G may not guarantee you anything this year. Maybe Matt Rhule is still gone. And does the next head coach want Jimmy G as his quarterback? So there's a lot of moving parts here. The schedule is going to be tough because they play the North, they play the West, the NFC West, AFC North here. Like I said, this is a no bet for me. I'm not betting it either way. I don't really feel great about the under, and I already mentioned I probably do lean a little bit towards the over, but like I said, 7 wins, not going to get you very far. Your division, I understand you're playing Atlanta twice. Good for you. You're also going to play Tampa Bay and New Orleans twice. I mean, you'd be lucky to go 2-4, so I'll pass.
Okay. So Michael Rothstein from ESPN covers the Falcons. Has some quotes here from Arthur Smith that Desmond Ridder is, quote, light years ahead of most young quarterbacks from the neck up. The supposition is that he's not going to start a quarterback right away. They'll bring Mariota in, but he says if first impressions matter, he's doing quite well there. So good news for them on the Desmond Ridder choice. Here's their odds. 200-1 to win the Super Bowl, 100-1 to win the conference, 25-1 to win the division. They're amongst the longest shots to win their division in the entire league. I want to see if anybody is longer. I don't believe they are. The Houston Texans are similarly 25-1. They have the lowest win total on the board. It's 5 here, minus 120 to the over, minus 140 to the under. I had the Falcons as a hard under last year, George, of 7.5, and they won 7 games. I cleared it early enough, but it was still closer than I thought it was going to be. I say that because there were so many things wrong with this team last year, and they still went 7-10. I think it's a huge positive for Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, a new GM, that they were out there fighting, despite the fact that the defense lacked talent on every level. They've got a few guys and really no support. A.J. Terrell at corner, Deion Jones at linebacker, Grady Jarrett at defensive line. So one guy at each level, but really just not enough talent there. And they have 3 offensive linemen that are first-round draft picks from years past and don't play like it. Matt Ryan got beat up last year. The fact they went 7-10 was miraculous. I just think still they are headed to the valley before they head back upwards. to the peak. It's why their win total is so low. I don't think I'll chase it because I have a little bit of faith in Arthur Smith, but this is going to be a bad football team again.
You think? Boy, you didn't go on a limb there. This is going to be a very bad football team. I know a team that's in the battle for that number one spot here. You don't have a quarterback. You don't have a running back. I mean, Mariota's not playing 17 games, by the way. I certainly take the under on any kind of bet on that. And if he does, he's not some kind of dynamic quarterback anyway. All right. Listen, I like Cordero Patterson. Had a great first half of the season before he suffered that injury, I think, in Dallas and wasn't the same player after that. But you don't really have a running back there. Your wide receiving core after Drake London gets a little scary here. We'll see what happens there. Kyle Pitts, sure, wasn't a touchdown guy last year, but it set all sorts of numbers as far as receiving yardage for a rookie tight end. But you don't have Matt Ryan there anymore. And say what you want about Matt Ryan, he's a good NFL quarterback. You know, yeah. And everything else there is, it's just not there. It's just not there. And we keep going back to the schedule for the NFC South. We know it's tough here with all the teams you've got to play. I mean, you look at this team, outside of your Carolina, your own division, where are your wins coming from? You play Seattle in week three, but that's at Seattle. That won't be a gimme here. And then I'm looking here. You play Chicago, okay, in week 11. You want to put Washington week 12 here as a possible win? Pittsburgh, fine. After that, I don't see it.
They're going to be underdogs, George. Of the 17 games, they'll be underdogs in at least 14 of them. At least 14, yeah. Probably 15.
They're an under. I don't see much happen for the Falcons this season at all. This is before injuries hit. It's a rebuilding team. I know they made some questionable moves in the draft. You know, I like Kyle Pitts, but I would have taken a quarterback. Probably would have taken Justin Fields. You know, that's just me. I would have taken a shot at a quarterback. They don't have one. So eventually, you're going to have to take a shot. Desmond Ridder, we'll see here, but he wasn't a top-ranked QB. Now, next year, maybe they're playing the next year, Mike. We know next year is supposed to be a strong quarterback class. Maybe they're playing into that, and that's fine if that's your long-term plan. But I don't know if I trust anybody at Atlanta to actually be thinking that kind of long-term.
But I'd like to give Ridder some reps this year if I'm the Falcons. They drafted Drake London, first wide receiver off the board. I don't think not a lot of people had him as the number one, or not the majority of people had him as the number one ranked wide receiver, but they added him. A few other additions. Again, this is a long way to go as we build up this entire roster. I lean to the under. I don't know if I'm going to chase it. I'm on the fence on them, but I would not bet the over. I'm either a no play or an under. Back to the trivia question. We'll answer it when we come back. How many players can George name in the top 10 in jersey sales for 2022? We'll find out what the answer is as he guesses them at the top of the next segment. Come back on the grid where you get the winning edge. It's Football Full Circle with Mike and George.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back closing out the show. Thank you and have a great holiday weekend. I hope you've had a great holiday weekend. Thanks to George, my co-host, Jack, producing, Jesse on graphics, and everybody else that helped us out make us look and sound as good as we can look on this holiday weekend of Football Full Circle. How many players can George name in the top 10 in jersey sales for 2022? I think he's going to get 5. Jack doesn't know how to play trivia, so he gave George a huge hint. And George, start off with your guesses.
All right, Jack did give me a hint. He said already, you know, this player's in the top 10 already. That sort of gave it away. It has to be a rookie. For me, it's going to be about quarterbacks, and the only rookie quarterback who might start would be Pickett. So I'll take that. I'll take the win there.
Yeah, he's number 4.
Tom Brady.
So keep firing off. We only got like a minute and a half. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady
is 5th. That's right. You got 2 in a row.
All right. My strategy is quarterbacks here, by the way. Okay. Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes still comes in at number 9. That's 3.
All right. Dak?
No.
Really? Not a Cowboy?
Come on. They already have the jerseys.
I'm surprised. These days a Cowboy up there. Josh Allen?
Yes, number 2.
Okay.
It's 4.
Burrow made this Super Bowl last year.
Just
Burrow
under there. That's it. Five. You're there. Can you beat it? You got like 15 seconds. Got to fire off one more guest.
Christian McCaffrey.
Who changed teams?
McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey. That's a terrible guess.
Davante Adams.
Yes. Number three, Davante Adams. The guy that changed teams. Maybe the face of the franchise for years moving forward. Russell Wilson comes in
Russell Wilson.
One. Allen, Davante Adams, Pickett, Brady, Mac Jones at six, Cooper Kupp at seven. George has never heard of the greatest receiver in the history of the NFL, Cooper Kupp, Justin Herbert at eight, Mahomes, and then Burrow. So thank you once again for listening to us on this holiday weekend. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week as I try to catch my breath. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.